It's 9:48 p.m. Sorry. On my watch, it's Supreme Daylight Savings Time. Sorry about that. 7:48 p.m. We're back from the closed session, and we're reopening the public session.
Okay. Item number 15, the station chief's report. Well, you're the only one left.
Did Chris bail?
I think he did.
Yeah, okay. With the luggage on. Oh, okay. So we've got a lot of interesting good things going on in Central. I guess I'll just start with the statistics for last month. We had 3 medical calls in Central, 2 fire-related calls, 3 accidents with people injured on SR-18 last month, and then we had 1 standby to assist the county Sheriff's Department with some operations they were doing in Central last month. Other exciting things that we got done this week, Rescue 171 was certified by the state to make it an official paramedic rescue vehicle with the state. So we got all the advanced life-saving equipment on there that meets the qualifications to hold that title, so they can stop in whenever they want to kind of do inspections whenever, but as long as we keep our vehicle stocked and keep all our logs and our medications and everything up to date, we shouldn't have any problem with keeping that.
Did we spend the money from the Elks for equipment?
Not yet.
Have we done that yet?
We have not yet. We're still. Yeah. Have you guys decided if you want a Lucas or you want an Autopulse?
I'm kind of on the fence with it still.
All right, we'll put it to Chris.
Yeah, I really think that we need to really make a good decision.
Right.
I was just curious if it got done or not.
No, okay.
A ticket item that we do want to make sure we get the last
thing.
But that's
going to also let the Elks know what we were able to do.
Yeah,
with the money.
I mean, the function is going to be the same. We're going to get a CPR machine. Which one we get is going to be up to the paramedic.
Does the Lucas interface with the...
It does not have the same interface that the Autopulse does. The thing about the Lucas, it can be deployed single-handed a lot easier. So if you've got a single rescuer, it's easier to deploy the Lucas.
But do you anticipate
that?
Because you're going to have to run back to the rescue to get it after you've gone in the house and found that you need it. So
I had to go on call by myself and do CPR in Central, and it's a minimum at least a good 12, 13 minutes before Pine Valley or Enterprise gets there. And if I'm the one-man show in Central and I already know that, hey, this is what we got going on inside, I'll come inside with
him. He can deploy the Lucas, and then he can focus his attention on the airway or something else.
So your protocol allows you to take that 5 minutes to get it and set it up?
Well, if he's going in on a cardiac arrest, he carries it with him when he goes in.
Well, but you don't know necessarily it's a cardiac arrest.
But it's anyways. Well,
we're going to leave that up. My point is, I would like to let the Elks know, what we do and show them.
So, are you
like
considering? My 2 cents that it's worthless, but I'd like to see the same equipment. So we order the same batteries, the same supplies, the same.
Okay, and that's a big point. And it does. Yeah, would interface. There's. We'll take
time in the monitor.
So we haven't made that decision yet.
Okay.
The other good news that we have going on in Central this last month, we had 2 new volunteers that joined our department this last year, and they actually got certified as wildland firefighters, firefighter type 2. So that happened last month. I got the red cards via email from the state. So that brings our total red card holders in Central for wildland to a total of 6 now that are in the department. So we're making some progress. Good there. The other big news is, like we talked to Rosemary a little bit earlier, about the Central Park Easter egg hunt that's happening at the end of the month on the 28th at 4 p.m. The Easter egg hunt is for kids 10 or under. It's free, but they also are going to have a bake sale that day, raffle, face painting, a food truck there for pizza. They're going to do burgers, hot dogs for sale, and all that good stuff to raise money for their community. I do have some flyers here if anyone's interested. They want to take them, post them up in their community, just that gives you kind of a raffle also, what they're having there. And it comes along with a QR code if you'd like to make a donation for $5 a ticket. And basically, they got some pretty good prizes. They're
The grand prize is they're rifling off a rifle with some ammunition. Second prize is they're going to have some grass flat ranch, donate some meat and some rubs. And then third place prize, they have a 3-hour pass to the roller rink, a $150 video pool pass, a $150 pass to Family Fun Center in town, 2-person kayak, and then they have other prizes that they're saying they're going to have oil changes, gift card restaurants, gift cards and stuff like that that you're able to win also.
Nice.
So
I want that new F-150.
A couple things that I did. They want to set up earlier than 4 o'clock, so they'll probably be here.
Yeah, I
but they're going to have to hide the Easter eggs and
whatnot.
Yeah,
I figured it was
going to
be
so
an all-day event in a sense there. They also asked if I could bring out the engine and kind of stand by it and let the kids kind of take pictures of the engine, kind of jump around. My plan as of right now, I should be there for the event, but my crew comes back on the 25th. They get 2 days of R&R, and we could be back out on deployment. So that's going to be kind of those things where I may be there, I may not be there, but we'll just see.
Okay, excuse me, one more thing. Could you tell us what's going on with you and your training and stuff? Because
sure. So like I said, last year around this time, my main goal was for the 2025-2026 year was to become engine boss. Single resource for my department and also for the community of Central also, which has been going really well. Back in January, I kind of talked about it. I went to California for an S290 class, which is fire immediate class, which was a really good class I needed to take. It was a qualification to become engine boss. I took that, really great class. 2 weeks ago, I took a class out in Cedar for firing operations, so I could become a fireman boss. And if you don't know familiar with that is, it basically you fight fire with fire, you put fire on the ground, you're in charge of it, you make up the plan, and you dictate, you know, how you're going to attack the fire. That's something that I want to reach as a goal here after I become engine boss, to become a firing boss. It's going to take me some time to get there, of course, but goals and things that I want to work for. Another class I just took last weekend was my S-230 single resource boss class, which was a requisite for getting into the engine boss class that I'm going to be taking this weekend. Overall, between all my training and everything I've been doing over the winter since I've been off since fire season, I think I clocked it in as I'm at about 79 hours of online classwork and about, no, excuse me, 79 hours of in-classroom and 48 hours of online work that I've put in since November. So I've been really not keeping busy in a sense, you know, this is my off season, I don't really have much going on, you know, work-wise, but I've been really pushing to further my education, not only to help my career, but to help our community and our district, too, when it comes to wildfires, because I think that's our biggest threat here to our community is wildfire more than anything. So I have two more assignments I need to go out on before I become engine boss to finish off my task book, which if all plays out well, hopefully that'll be by June at the latest, and then we can move on from there, and our community would be sitting a lot better, especially if we get incidents around here, and you know the incidents go more than a 24-hour period. It turns into a campaign, and that's when you start needing engine bosses on the engines, so you can start getting paid, and the crews can start getting paid and stuff like that, which will really help our district and our firefighters make some generate some money, also get stuff locally too.
Thank you.
Kind of all that in a nutshell.
Okay,
thank you. I don't have much lady anymore because she's left.
So I'll leave these flyers up on the table if you guys want to take one, put them in your community if not, like take a look at it, scan the QR code, buy $5 raffles. I think there's some really great prizes to help our community and help the Central Park.
Thanks, Ralph.
Yep.
Chris?
After that, how can I compare that?
Yeah.
He's looking on the bottom of this
thing. Hey, the library, that's huge.
Yeah, I'm excited about the library. Meeting.
Yeah.
Our activity has been about like usual, mostly medical calls, but we've had a couple of fire calls. There was a call for a campfire that looked like neighbors were concerned about it, so we went and checked on it. And before we got there, the sheriff had said it's nothing, don't worry about it.
But you did tell Dameron that, hey, we got
I
it.
Did,
you guys
I did.
Home.
I was able to,
that was awesome.
To wave them off. The engine didn't hear me. They couldn't. There was radio issues, but the Chief 132 did acknowledge and went back in service. So we So that was a good
Which, thing. By you doing that, really did help the morale of the volunteers in my department. We could actually get and go and do something before the end, so that really did boost the morale by you doing that.
That's awesome. I'll
report on that for sure.
Other than that, we're just plugging along.
Okay.
Any issues with repairs? We need anything else here? The roof got done, and your garage door openers got done.
Yeah, the garage door is good.
Yep.
Terry?
So we've got six individuals that are in the basic EMT class, two in Gunlock, four in Vail, and
no, there's three in Vail and one in Brookside.
Currently on the Vail department, but lives in Brookside. And visited with the instructor over there. They're all at the top of the class. They're doing fantastic. And almost all six are considering going on and getting their advanced. Some of them are on the fence. I know at least three are for sure going to go on. But it's fantastic. They're doing a great job. Had a meeting last week with the county commission with Chief Moody and Mayor Humphreys. And the administrative group from the Bureau of EMS. And this was about our petition to get Gold Cross to start servicing Gunlock. So currently the way that stands is Santa Clara Ivins has a contract until November. And then the county commission has the purview to determine where things go after that. So it looks good that come this November, we'll move Gold Cross, the boundaries down, so Gold Cross will be servicing Gunlock. The other issue that we had was the fact that for us to run a quick response out of Gunlock, we need approval from the transport agency over that area. And currently Santa Clara Ivins has denied that and is not allowing us to have a quick response in Gunlock. That was a big discussion with the county commission, and they agreed that that was kind of a ridiculous thing, that, you know, Santa Clara Ivins would just as soon our people sit and have nothing happen for 20 minutes while we're waiting for them to show up, than at least have somebody try to get in there and try to intervene in some way. So I talked to Commissioner Iverson today. He's talking to Chief Kazir from Santa Clara tomorrow, and then we're going to have another big meeting with Chief Gazier from Santa Clara and the Bureau of EMS and the County Commission all together, hopefully within the next couple of weeks, and we can resolve this. In the interim, we will be, I think, before the end of the week, we will be applying for quick response in Brookside and in Vail because we have the support of Gold Cross. So we will have it here in Vail and Brookside. So our new EMTs will be able to respond as EMTs up here. Gunlock will just be an orphan until we get this other issue worked out.
I've got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
The Brookside, we're not going to have a fire chief anytime soon?
As of right now, no. We've, as far as participation there, people that live there, it's been most of the people that were active have moved to other areas. They're still on the department and still come to training, but
well, that was my next question. How many firefighters do they have in that department?
They currently have, I think, five that are active. I think only one of them currently lives in Brookside. So as of right now, I've got them coming and training on Thursdays with Chief Larson. And our goal is to develop things and develop some leadership there so that we can start rebuilding the Brookside department. But, you know, right now we have a bit of a leadership vacuum there. And so we've got the firefighters training with Chief Larson, and he will coordinate any response that comes out of there.
Wasn't there a lady firefighter there?
We had her as a captain. She was doing a great job. She had moved to St. George, but was still running trainings. She works up here a lot, but she's had some health issues. So she's had to step away. So when she stepped away, it was at that point that we need to bring those people up here. They'll be under Chief Larson for now, and then we're going to work on.
Yeah, I was wondering how they were taking care of that.
Yeah. So, you know, we still have people that are technically Brookside firefighters, but we don't have the leadership there that we need to confidently deploy them. So as of right now, they're under Chief Larson.
Thank you.
Can I ask you a question?
Sir?
As I remember when we talked about EMT training,
yes, sir.
There was, say, a concern that, because they had it happen, I think, in Dublin, that the EMTs would get training and then some short period after time they'd take off. Mm-hmm. So that investment money. Now, were those that we trained as EMTs through that class, do they have a contract?
They do. They do. And that contract is that they will serve for at least a year.
Okay.
And so that is to that tuition.
Along with that, each one of those participants in that class are actual homeowners here in the district.
Yeah.
So.
But we do have a contract with them to do that. They have to pass the course and then they have to participate as EMTs and respond to calls.
Are there any provisions if they happen to be working and lose their job and get forced out or anything?
Well, there is a provision. So we can prorate. You know, if over that 12 months, if they serve for 9, it's not like we're going to go back and chase them down for the whole thing. We'll prorate that service that they did provide.
Right.
And that's where we're at with that.
But it
has been great. Again, 6 people that's huge. And they are fired up. And
they're excited to be here.
Thank you for coming.
If you get a call in Brookside, do you go down to their station and get their equipment? Or
no, we pretty well. If I can go straight there, I go straight there. But typically we're here taking our equipment. And if we need to, their guys are responding too. If we need their equipment, we
can. They can send them over to get that. Yeah. But again, they would fall underneath Chief Larson's.
Yeah, because I was thinking you got to go from here, you got to.
But again, it will be coordinated that way.
And every circumstance is different, too. Every call is different.
Yeah. So just if you're the one down there and you already got your equipment, just wondering how that would work.
And plus, you got the central department that automatically comes to anything on your side, too, that will bring our equipment also. Right away.
So they're coming down here.
Any calls that go on Brookside. Anywhere in the district will respond. It's just more or less like in Central, if we get something way down in Dunlop, we're not going to go all the way down in Dunlop unless requested to, in a sense. Mm-hmm. We'll stay back up in this area, try to hold down.
Just cover this area while
there's better ones down there. But automatically, if anything goes off to Brookside, I've told my volunteers to come no matter what it is for Brookside, for sure. So. We got that to back up.
Good to know. Thank you.
And we start blue card training this Saturday. So myself and Slade have completed the modules and will be. You've completed.
I completed your modules, but I have my class that I have to take for my engine boss. So I'll be taking that class in the next round.
We'll be starting.
What is the blue card?
It is incident command. So what the county has done is they've given us a grant. For the SR18, so basically we're going to have a unified command. We're all going to be singing from the same hymnal when we come on scene, and that's the whole idea. Is that we've got the same operating picture whenever, because if there's a structure fire, it's going to require all of us. And so this is a way that we come together and we're all speaking the same language when we get on scene.
Does this have to take care of the matter like when the fire chief from down St. George came up here and the house that burned down on Sumac or whatever took over and said, I'm in charge?
Well, we'll have common protocols so that we will have a protocol in place as who's going to be in charge and how command is transferred and how those things are handled. You're not going to have someone from St. George coming in and just saying, hey, I'm in charge, everybody step out of the way. Those things, we won't have that, but we will have a common way to operate and a way of speaking and a way of working. And we now have this chief association so that a lot of the problems that you've had in the past, a lot of the pissing matches that happened in the past, hopefully are not going to happen in the future.
Is Diamond Valley and Diamond Valley part of that?
Yes. So Winchester, all the way up to Enterprise, are on this SR18 Chiefs Association, and including Pine Gully and Dunlop. So that entire corridor is part of this, and we'll be operating on that same picture. So,
courtesy and respect.
Hopefully.
Can I comment on the remaining funds?
Yes.
So the county had given our district a grant to administer the Blue Card program for all of the Route 18 departments. We have expended all but $2,018.35 of that money. We've got 8 licenses that we need to purchase for a software program as the remainder. Was $395 each license. Is that still correct?
It is going to come over that $2,000 amount, and we brought that up in our chiefs meeting last night, and they will, each of the departments will contribute to make up for that difference. But to facilitate getting everything taken care of this week, I said that we'll go ahead and front it, and then they will pay us back.
Right. Whatever. That's what I was going to say.
Right.
So I don't think anybody would disagree, but we need to spend $3,160.
Right.
We've got $2,018 remaining, and we'll get paid back from the other departments.
We'll split it up with the other departments.
Okay, so I'd like to make a motion then to approve that over expenditure temporarily and then recover those costs from the other departments.
Do we have to make that a line item, though, for it?
No, this is on the...
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, we've already approved it.
And there's only 3 of us here now.
Yeah.
That's okay. We're, for this, 3 out of 5 is still
okay.
A quorum.
Okay.
And then, Chief, when we're done with that,
mm-hmm.
I can close out the grant, but I have to give them back all of our expenditures mm-hmm. and the training. Do you know when the chiefs and all the trainees will be done? And
The actual training will take place over the next year. It will be until the end of the year.
So we won't have a certificate or anything to show them?
Well, I mean, the first group will have a certificate by June, but there's going to be a second wave to do the in-person training that will take place this fall.
That first group, though, is what we covered on the grant, isn't it?
There will be additionals that will be...
All right. Maybe you and I offline then can...
Yes, it'll be... Right. We won't close that out to the end of the year.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
Will all of the new certifications, qualifications change the fire rating number? Or are we applying for...
I don't know if it's Blue Card...
I don't think so.
I don't think it does.
Okay.
So I think there's a lot of other things we need to address.
You got your water systems and the fire department.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Both.
Our clerk, Paula Guthrie's returning from vacation. So we have no comment from her. Director Hughes and Director Levitt. We'll just do their follow-up with the water district for VAO. And then you're
I don't have any comments other than whatever chit-chatted about all evening. So thank you, everyone.
Mark?
With our new EMTs and our actual first response capability for VAO, looking down the road, we need to consider getting a first response vehicle for here, similar to what we did in Central. So I've been working with the county and St. George, never had the courtesy of a reply, but I'm trying to get one of their excess vehicles that go to auction before it goes to auction. So preferably we need, after our experience with the Explorer, we need 4-wheel drive high high clearance. So we're looking at one of the F-150s right now from either agency. So I'll work on that. And if I find something, I'll bring it back to the board for approval. I'm also watching Ritchie Brothers. We've had excellent results from our Las Vegas team down there. They're watching for good vehicles for us. I also just sent a note to them yesterday asking them if they would approve a concept of any of the sellers that would like to work with volunteer government agencies like our fire department on a donation basis before the auction, that they would allow us to interact with those sellers to see if somebody would donate a vehicle. So I haven't had a reply from them yet. It's got to go to corporate in California, I think, and then so I'm looking at all avenues without having to spend a bunch of money. My head goal is $20,000 or less if we could. But knowing what we're going to spend to equip that also. So, but that's I'm working on it. So
real
GSA,
quick.
Yeah,
so
go ahead.
On that note, I'll take more time, but so when our new MTs graduate, I'm putting together vests that are specific for first responders, and they will give them the opportunity to basic life support and pull vitals. Mm-hmm. So when they get on scene, they'll be able to do that, as well as a jump bag that will allow them to do that as well. That'll be up to their certifications that they'll have prior to us having that first response vehicle.
Is it possible to see if they would be allowed to do ride-alongs with the ambulance?
I'm checking with that tomorrow.
Okay, thank you.
They currently said if I'm currently on the ambulance that it's okay. I'm trying to see if we can get broaden that a little bit and get some more. Okay.
So you would be a proctor for them?
Correct.
Excellent.
Okay. So we currently have that. We also have, if there's a response in Central, that Enterprise has already agreed to take our students if they're on scene.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So, thank you.
Yep.
Appreciate that. That's it for me.
Okay. One of the things that I've been thinking, I saw a thing on Facebook today about the FD grants are coming up. They're assistance to firefighters.
That's the FEMA.
That's their FEMA.
Isn't that the one that was due last?
No, that's the state. FEMA's the
yeah. Have you seen anything on the license plate grant time? I can't find it anywhere.
No, normally it's about May before on that.
Okay. Yeah.
But anyway, I've been thinking, weren't we looking for somebody that would hunt us up grants?
Yes.
Well, we need to pay somebody to do that too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Put that in.
We did, yeah. So let me get with Slade and see who we recommend.
Yeah, so I'd like to do that. It's looking to be an interesting year.
Do you have a point of contact on the AFG or website or something I can go to?
I don't, but there is a website for
okay.
us. But this year, it looks to me like spring has sprung. And basically, the interesting thing is right now the ground here is almost saturated. Mm. There's not anything on the mountain. Mm. Down here in southern Utah, that's our situation. In central Utah, the ground's dry and no snow. So it's going to be an interesting year as far as fire danger. The HB 448 thing is, they're still yelling about it, nothing's really in any real structure to it yet. So let's just move forward. We appreciate the things that we've done last couple of years. It's great, and hopefully we can keep the ball rolling and try to meet our residents' needs and take care of ourselves. And you know, I'm excited to see more guys working into the, you know, the EMT stuff. You know, when I did my advanced, I told John that I don't want to poke people, and that was one of the things you have to do. And I'm still not very comfortable. I can do it, but I'm not very comfortable with it. So I'm getting a little old for that stuff. So it's good to see, you know, young guys doing that. But other than that, you know, we're on the right track. Just keep your eyes open. Keep your head about you. Your SA, situational awareness, always know what you're doing. And
keep your head on the swivel.
Keep going. And that's all I have to say. So,
any final comments from the public?
I got a, you know, you mentioned about grants. One thing I'd like to see is that the jackets and pants, I don't know what you call that equipment for the firemen when they go out. But all that stuff is like way past its...
it is.
And so that and the tanks with the oxygen, those two things are something that I'd like to see us get grants for. And the other thing is that it's really kind of been gnawing at me is I don't know what the certification for if the house is on fire, you have to have certain training to go in.
To go inside, you need to fire on fire.
And I don't think we have very many people in the group that have that certification. So what do we need to do so that we can get up to speed so everybody in each department has that certification, so they need to go in and get somebody before it falls in on them.
You need to have four people.
Two out of four.
Well, yeah, but the training, you got to have...
No, you've got to have people that have the time to get off work and go in and do the training.
We do. We put a lot of people through the Dameron Academy. We do have quite a few. We do need to get more. We just recently talked to Winchester at our meeting yesterday, and they've started doing some things on their own, which might be something we might want to start considering. It is something that we could do. It takes a little bit longer, but we can do that. So it is something. You know, right now, our biggest focus lately has been to try and get this medical response up and going, and I think as soon as we get through some of this, we can change gears and get back to that. So that's kind of where we're at right now. But on it is something that we're going to do. Getting the new SCBAs for Central is a high priority this year, and that will happen this year.
That's the
tanks. Yep.
And as people get certified, she's been ordering their proper PPE.
Yeah. So, Ed, you've been very patiently waiting. Yeah.
Oh, please.
Go for it.
I'm Ed Bohr. I really appreciate everything all you guys do. You're doing a really good job. I do have one little concern, though, and it's on our billing. You're using a tax ID number. And so what happens is in rural Utah, in particular in Washington County, you're going to have certain little strips that will have a separate tax ID number. An example, or you may have, you know, I have people call me all the time saying, can I combine my lots here to make one tax ID number so I don't get two bills from the district? So the only thing I would suggest, at least consider, is you're going to have new tax IDs all the time. Mm-hmm. So if somebody... If what?
Oh, that's me.
Yeah, sure.
It's me. Yeah, we just had this discussion today.
So anyway.
So yeah, I
as an example, what's the criteria? Is it a building lot that you bill on, or what? What's your criteria for building instead of just a tax ID? Because you're going to have a tax ID that may be 2 feet by 6 feet.
Or are you talking about, okay, so tax ID to me is employer or an EIN from the IRS.
No, a tax ID is how you're
building. Are you talking, right. That's the county's ID.
Yeah, it's a tax ID.
That's
a property tax ID.
Yes, so you want to address it?
Yes.
So I'm just curious.
So, we have had some challenges coordinating with the county for things like happened to Sean, where he went to the county and took six parcels and basically put it into one.
So that's why.
Right.
And
yeah.
We hadn't gotten that information. So Paula is also very aware of that, and we have reached out to the county and said, we need to work together so that we know when people go into the county and make a change and combine lots, you need to let us know in writing so that we can update our database. So at the end of every year, and we did it again in 2025/6, is we got a new database from the county, and there were several that we needed to fix because people had gone to the county and had done that. So we also go to the county, and they give us their GIS map, and so everyone that has a different parcel number gets a bill.
Right, right? That's my concern.
Yes, and that is what happens. And so basically, come January 1st is the cutoff date. His paperwork was done January 8th.
Right, but my point is you're going to have some parcels that are like really not even
there anymore. Yeah, the very thin ones. We had that with you last year.
Well, no, and you've got some, but there's some more of them. That,
yes.
And so my
yes.
question is there an appeal process to where we come in and say, look, do I need to pay $120 for that sliver? Mm-hmm. Because you're going to have lot line adjustments that are going to create a new tax ID number.
Yeah.
And you understand what I'm
saying?
Oh,
yeah.
And so I'm just saying that, and it's a big job. Don't get me wrong, mm-hmm. I get a job. I deal with it every day myself in my
yeah.
business, but as an example, because I brought one of mine out.
Here's one right there.
Yeah.
Right. So here's one. Perfect. What you're talking about right there, right? That would be a very awkward piece. This triangle.
Yes.
Right. That's,
well,
you know,
kind of yes. So as an
so
example,
we're talking like that little piece, this piece. Mm.
If you take that tax ID right there, right mm-hmm. in the middle of the creek,
mm-hmm.
that is completely unbuildable, and it's in the middle of the river,
mm-hmm.
that gets a bill.
Yeah.
And so, and then you'll have another little piece like, you know, there's several, if you just take that as an example, and it's in Bell a bunch, too. And I'm
sure it's
yeah.
everywhere.
And so, the criteria is what I'm kind of after. The methodology, I guess, is what I would say.
So
well, we had a discussion.
So let me show you one other thing, if I may. Those folks, so we also get this database from the county, right? And on it, it talks about if it's a primary
sure.
residence.
Got that.
So it goes all the way down. Well,
right.
At one point, and this is all of the parcels in our
right.
district, but at one point, there's a whole bunch that are exempt.
Right.
A whole bunch. So, to me, the parcel owner would need to then go to the county and make it get it fit under an exemption, and then they don't get
billed. So, can we do that? Let me just clarify. Are you asking, do we currently have an appeal process where you could come in and
say, this
look,
is in the river,
yeah,
you can't build on it.
Yeah,
it's the straight up hillside. There's no, you know what I mean? It's
right.
no ledge.
We talked to the county about that in 2024.
And
the county attorney. There's no provision to that at that period to be able to make a determination that just because it's not buildable doesn't waive it on tax.
No, no. I'm talking about the fire system, not tax.
No, they're combined. We go off of the county's
right.
assessor parcel number.
Right.
So there's no provision in law, according to the Devin Snow, when we spoke to him in 2024, there's no provision in law that allows us to determine one way or the other whether an assessor parcel number is exempt or not exempt, other than there are special rules for agricultural use, for government use. Those rules are already set in stone by the state. I would think you'd have to go to the county assessor's office. Yeah.
Devin's the guy. I look on
well, I mean,
if he's the guy, I'm good.
Well, I don't know that Devin's...
Does the board have the purview to say...
No.
Say that?
No, we don't.
No, that's what I'm saying. It has to be a county function.
Right.
That they have to determine whether that's based on
January 1st of that year.
Because what you're going to do is you're going to have a whole, over the years, you'll just have a lot of those that are boundary line adjustments, this, that, and the other, and then they'll get taxed $120 for that several tax.
Well, it's standby fee, not tax.
Right.
Ours are standby fees.
Yeah, your standby fee.
Right.
$120.
Yeah, for the. And along the same line, we're not notified when a building's complete, a residence gets a certificate of occupancy. We don't know that either.
Does the
either,
board
so.
Decide what they want to charge for a standby fee, or is that
the county? With public hearing, we do.
Okay.
But it's with public input. We hold a public hearing on it. Yes.
So when do you set that?
We don't set it every year. The last time was 2 years ago. 2024, we made the change.
Normally, it's about November.
Yeah, but isn't it a little more this year than it was last year?
No.
So it was all 208 and 120?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So when will your next public hearing be? You'll notify us.
Because
we get this once a year.
Right.
Well, we would.
So we won't. You'll have to send out a separate.
We would be publishing with the state and local entities when we hold a public hearing.
Do you send a notice out? Or just
we post a notice at the state website.
Yes.
Well, and then we try to do it through social media, but our requirement is at the state.
I'm too old to be on social media.
But are you signed up at the state so you get emails as soon as we post something?
No. I'll follow it.
But
I'll visit with Devin how they did that. Uh-huh. I can see a little bit of an issue. And then to have everybody start to combine all of their parcels sometimes can be expensive. Because you have survey. And you know what I mean. And so.
Then you've got water issues on top of that, too, for what? Water assessment issues.
What does that mean?
Well, you've got a water agency.
For your culinary
and
water.
You may not have a meter. You may have a standby fee on one lot when you combine them. What happens, you have a meter on one and a standby fee on another.
Probably in Bella, not Dunlop.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's central, actually.
Yeah, that's
because you have a water share and you pay, whether you're using it or not. And
well,
so,
we had to give up our water shares to the district, say, in Central. I think Bayo's the same. Yeah, I mean, do you remember 3 years ago when the assessor just snapped his fingers and upped everybody's
assessment? Well, that's based upon appraisal.
It wasn't. It was based upon, because I went in to ask him, it was based upon the average of the real estate agents putting out their publication. Well, that's market value based on sales, but they just did it in the whole county, not taking into account our particular communities here. You think property values went up in Dunlop?
They go through an appraisal process and comp.
Sure, but the assessor just did it without any justification on property by property. And that was challenged, but, you know, unless you got down there by the time they closed their little quick window.
I've appealed many, many, many times. I know that process.
But we're...
You bring your comparable sales in, and a lot of times they will adjust it if it's justifiable.
Right. So we're trying to keep our roles the cleanest that we can, but we have to have the cooperation of the county to do it.
You do a wonderful job. I'm just saying, I do see a little glitch in that.
Probably makes it
a little hard. Because, you know, you're going to have somebody that's going to have four little parcels that has no home on there that pays $600 and then a primary residence pays $208.
Right.
Yeah. No,
I'm just saying, I'll visit with Devin about it.
But we don't have the power individually here to do that. And I can see why they wouldn't want special service districts to have that power, that it needs to be centralized. But it's a difficult... I mean, we're all in the same boat, so we're... Yeah, let us know.
We're in the same boat as far as...
We're at the same... We have to pay the same bills and follow the same rules. And if we have multiple parcels, we've got to figure out what we want to do with that, too. But, we definitely have come across the non-buildable lot issue before.
But I will tell you, I know people who have, say, three lots, and they want to keep them there. You know why? Because they have water on each three lots. If they combine them, then they only have water.
Have one service.
Yeah. In which town's
in
that?
In Central.
Oh, in Central. Yeah, yeah. Well,
that's what I'm saying. So
that's
it's
kind of
my
point,
yeah,
in that part of the problem with combining is there are things that could bite you in the rear end,
mm-hmm,
and that's,
yeah,
what I'm saying. You know, the county, of course, assesses on market value.
Right.
Okay, so your property tax is assessed on market value. If you have a 10,000 square foot home, you're going to pay much more,
right,
than that guy that's got the little narrow strip.
Right.
You follow,
right,
me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And each property tax parcel number will have that assessed valuation, but it's too much for you. I get. I'm not trying to.
No, I know. And then
I'm
we have
saying.
A neighbor. They had three lots. He combined them all into one. Owned it for whatever 20 years. And then he decided he wanted to sell individual. So now he had to go pay the county to split them up. And he was shocked at the amount of money he had to pay.
Yep.
And look what you just had to do to combine your six lots and what you had to pay.
I will tell you, I had a half a dozen people all the way from community development to every commissioner. You realize you are losing five septic,
yes,
permits. And I said, you realize, and I told everyone, we were the first house in Dixie Gear in 1964.
Wow.
We are never selling. Grandpa was the very first. I kind of put a boot in my 79-year-old uncle's backside and said, hey, you ain't a spring chicken. I don't want 14 lots in Dixie Gear end up with me or my cousin. I don't care what you do with it. I don't want a dime. Combine it, because I don't want to do this when you're dead.
But not everybody has that same feeling.
I know.
Feeling.
I know. So everybody's
just
a different situation.
But I will
situation.
Visit with Devin on that, just
yeah.
so that I understand it better.
Yeah.
Because it's a little... It's difficult. You've got a difficult job.
Yeah.
Not saying, I get it. I deal with it every day. It's difficult.
Yeah.
But I do see that that can be a little bit problematic mm-hmm. for those people.
Yeah, so people
yeah.
have to make a decision and
to do what?
Whether or not they want to combine the lot
yeah.
and keep water. That's what people have told me. I'm keeping it because now I'm
right.
free
it's
water.
Just that it is an extra
Which
expense
is,
that
yeah.
you have to go through
right.
and everything else. And
yeah.
so, you know, I'm
yeah.
just expressing my a little bit.
Were
of
your
yeah.
bills straightened out this year?
No, there's one of them that's because
oh, no.
there's some green belt there that's with it that's still billed, but I'll pay it. I'm just saying.
Right.
I want to know the process and the methodology.
Can't, yeah,
and
count.
Devin's the guy I can visit with him.
So if you have something that should be exempt,
mm-hmm.
please let us know that.
Well, I just got it.
Okay.
See, and I had a question, and Rosemary's been very, very good. She helped me last year. Remember,
mm-hmm.
we did those,
mm-hmm.
but I
yep.
still see there's one.
Work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of work. I get It's
You're
a job.
Right.
It's a job for you. It
well,
is a big job.
And we're trying to correct them, but we have to keep guiding back. Because
you only get a bill once
correct.
A year.
Right.
So you
right.
really can't pull up. As an example, if you could pull up the county like you can on a tax, then you can see exactly when you're, you know, what is exempt and what isn't.
You can't see that on your lots on the county
not
GIS?
With what, not with your SSD.
Well, we're pulling up the
but
same
I can't,
data.
I can't tell you, like, when I talked to Sean today, I went on the county's GIS map, and I sent him a picture of it, and then I gave it to our chief so he knows what's changed.
But I'm just saying is if I, but where did you pull, when you pull up the tax ID number, will it tell you which SSDs are affecting it, that particular
No.
one? That's my point.
Correct, no.
So you just can't pull
Correct.
It up. You would
you
have,
to
call,
know.
You'd have
to know.
Call Rosemary.
It does by the APN, it says what district it is.
So let me insert. So since you are going to speak to the county, maybe it helps all of the people in the SSDs throughout the county. Tell the county when they do what they did for me, and it took me a year and a whole bunch of money because we basically paid to redo all of Block 13 and Dixie Deer for 61 years of crappy surveys. Tell the county to put it out. Okay, step two. You're good with the county, now you need to, in my case, I knew to call the water district, I knew to call her, but put that out so people
yeah.
that don't know that,
yeah.
you know, like I said, Uncle says,
okay, I got a tax bill, or okay, I got the water bill, so I call, I think it's Sue with the water, and then it's call, but it's give them a 1, 2, 3, 4. You need that. Okay, you're done with the county. Good. Here's all your new stuff. Amen. Now, call the water, call the power, call the fire district. Do it, you know, give them a little checklist. But that needs to be, in my mind, not everybody's as enthusiastic as I am, but give these folks a checklist. Okay, you combine. Well, now you need to go to power. You need to go water. You need to go fire. If
sewer, just make sure everybody knows.
Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Tell them,
it
hey,
is a little hard to follow, but I'll visit with Devin about it. But I appreciate this. I'm not complaining. You guys got a big, big job. You know what I mean? You do a great job, wonderful job. I know all of you did an excellent job. It's just that on that particular issue, that will, as time goes on, come up a little more and more and more. And that's a little tricky as to how, because when people, here again, this is when people have come to me and say, I want to combine, I said, hold on, before you do, you got to make sure what you're doing because you could be, it could be a problem. And they say, well, God, that guy's got 10,000 square feet. And I've got a vacant lot and he's paying, I'm paying $100 less. And I said, doesn't work that way.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because it's not tax-based.
It's right. Different. And so, anyway. But that helps.
Well, let us keep us posted, please.
Yeah, let us know.
I will. I'll visit with him because I have that one that, and then I'll get with you. Back.
Did you get that text today on the burn permit?
Yes, and I appreciate that. Yeah,
very good.
Like I said, you got to do a good job. It's just tough.
Somebody else had something, or are we good to go?
Oh, let me just share something that if it's of any use for anybody. Mm-hmm. I have copies of original flat maps for every one of the units in Central and Brookside. So if anybody ever needs to look at it, they're the original copies of the original flat maps that they put through, so if you can use it.
Is that the ones that are in the books down at?
These are my roll-ups.
I've got copies of granddad's. Same idea, but I'd like to look at yours too.
Well, the reason is when we had the fuel reduction dimensional space, we needed to be able to not only keep track of it, but get an estimate of how much work we've got on each lot. And the only way you do it, you've got lot number, and obviously the person and address. And we were able to, we're able to calculate how much time so we could, spread the money to get the work done. But they're there if anybody could ever need to see.
No,
speaking of that, when we were doing the defensible space and we were keeping track of everybody's time, is that something we're going to use for grants?
Yes,
absolutely,
Has that all been turned in or kept track of?
No. There's nobody documenting it.
I thought.
Well, wait.
We were.
We did that all the tree cutting.
That was it was documented, and we sent it over to Heber Hyder's group, and then they used it for their grant purposes.
Yeah.
So yes, we did.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. By the way, I'm winging it, but I'm trying to get a jump. Lady Powell said be prepared. I talked a little bit to Mark about it. I'm going to create a form that obviously gives the plot number, the address, the name of the person that's owning it, and then a bird's eye view of the property with its layout. That shows a complete layout, driveway widths, and distances from hydrants to structures. And we're lucky that in that, I would imagine everybody's got it, but when they put the new water system, every one of the hydrants has a number on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a document like that is jumping ahead for if and when they ever come in from the county with assessors. You've got proof, not only visible of photographs of your foliage or lack of. And then you've also got those safety factors. For example, this is from a hybrid. I call them yard hydrants, you know, the standpipes. Hoses handy. Your gravel, siding on your home, is it flame resistant, flame retardant? Is it, you know, your roof?
I think they're looking at any of
that. Don't you mention that was
not going to want to have
you for the, you're in a better situation when you're trying to deal with the assets.
Other than
so,
your insurance
Gordon,
company.
The county has a 2-page list of a lot of those questions that you're talking about to be documented. And it's part of now a building permit process because there have been people.
But people change after they've moved in. The building permit only has it original.
Correct.
It's what you do afterwards.
No, but what I'm saying is you could use that as a benchmark because it asks those questions. What is your roof? What is your fascia? What is the building finish? You know, I'm just saying you could use that as a benchmark.
On our map.
We
have the hydrants already mapped out.
I'll find it and I'll send it to you.
Gordon, what would be the purpose of that? Because that's not part of the criteria.
No, it's not really.
Although the county pays every year for flights, they map our properties every year.
They have it on record. There's still issues about the legality with drones, which are then used to do the mapping.
Right, so, but it's there. You can see your car park in the spot that you had it last week. And so they pay for that already for mapping service.
But they don't make them available.
It's online. You can just pull it up.
On what?
On the county GIS website. It's amazing what's on there.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Just don't sunbathe outside without your shorts on.
Well,
I guess stop doing that.
somebody with a pool net, so.
It's 8:45. Should we call it a night?
Yep.
I would say so. Yes. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll visit with Devin on that.